Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Today, we are diving deep into what feels like a true revolution happening right now at the molecular level. We're talking about the convergence, the coming together of single-cell technologies with the newest, most powerful sequencing tool out there, single-molecule long-read sequencing, or SMS.
Yeah, it's a really essential deep dive for you today because, look, for years, the scientific community, we've been grappling with this massive blind spot. We like to say we've sequenced the human genome, but have we really sequenced the whole thing in a way that gives us function, context, especially, you know, cell by cell?
And that blind spot, it's actually a huge part of us, isn't it? I mean, what if we told you that over half, think about that, 54% of the human genome has been historically difficult, maybe even impossible, to really sequence properly using the standard methods? It sounds kind of wild, doesn't it? Given how mature genomics is supposed to be.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And we often call these tricky parts genomic dark matter. It's dark because it hides critical biological truths. Things like these vast repetitive stretches of DNA, incredibly complex ways RNA gets spliced together, and detecting big structural changes in the genome, SVs they're called. The traditional methods, they just couldn't see through the fog.
Right, because that's the fundamental limit of the workhorse we've relied on, next-gen sequencing, NGS short reads. You just can't piece together a long, repetitive story if all you have are tiny, like 300 base pair snippets.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. If a short read lands on a sequence that repeats, say, 50 times, where does it belong? The algorithm can't tell. So what happens? You often just discard that data. And if, like you said, 54% of your genome is made of these complex repetitive bits, well, you're basically blindfolded for over half the story of disease, of development.
And the challenge now, but also the incredible opportunity, is taking that cutting edge tech, the long read sequencing that finally gave us a complete gapeless human reference genome, and figuring out how to apply it, you know, one single cell at a time. That's where we might break through.
So our mission today really is to unpack how this combination, single cell analysis plus long reads, is starting to shine a light on that genomic dark matter.
Okay. And speaking of the people leading this charge, we should definitely take a moment for our special recognition. Today, we celebrate the work of Lu Wen and Fuchu Tang. They're based at Peking University's Biomedical Pioneering Innovation Center, that's BioPC, and also the new Cornerstone Science Laboratory. They're really thorough review papers, basically the roadmap for our deep dive today.
Yes. Today we celebrate the work of this team, who have really advanced our understanding of how single-cell analysis can harness the power of long-read sequencing technologies.
Yeah.
They're mapping out what's becoming possible, right? So to really get the context here, you need to see it as two big revolutions kind of smashing together. First, maybe about a decade back, you had the single-cell omics revolution. That completely changed how we saw biology, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly we realized tissues aren't just some uniform soup. They're mosaics of different cells. We could finally study those differences, heterogeneity in genomes, epigenomes, transcriptomes.
Okay, that's piece one, cell-by-cell analysis. And the second piece, that's the rapid improvement in single-molecule long-read sequencing, sometimes called third-gen sequencing, TGS. This stuff gives us reads that are just enormous compared to before, kilobases, even megabases long.
And that length, that's the absolute key. Remember the short-read problem. NGS gives you maybe 150, 300 base pairs. Like trying to assemble a novel from three-word scraps when half the words are they or and. You can't uniquely place those repetitive bits.
Yeah, that analogy really hits home, the scale of it. And that 54% number, that's staggering. It includes things like line one elements, right? Those alone make up something like 17% of our genome. So for decades, scientists were just throwing away crucial data because the reads were too short for these repetitive parts, missing out on complex biology like alternative splicing or those big structural variations.
Precisely. We were missing a huge chunk of the action.
So, okay, if short reads are the problem, let's look at the solution, the new machines. Can you maybe break down the two main players in this long read game? How do they actually do it?
Sure thing. This gets us into the core methodology. So you've got two main platforms everyone's talking about. First, there's PacBio, Pacific Biosciences. They use something called single molecule real-time sequencing, or SMRT. Their trick for getting high accuracy is they sequence the same DNA molecule over and over again in a circle. It's called circular consensus sequencing, CCS. This gets them super high fidelity, like 99.9% accuracy. They call them hi-fi reads.
Okay, amazing quality then. But that sounds resource-intensive, reading the same thing repeatedly. So I guess that makes PacBio maybe a bit more costly.
That's the trade-off, yeah.
Yeah.
It costs more per base, generally. The main competitor is Oxford Nanopore Technologies, or ONT. They have a totally different approach. They use these tiny nanometer-sized protein pores. Think of it like a sensor. The DNA or RNA strand gets pulled through this pore, and the machine reads the changes in electrical current as different bases go through. It's kind of like a feeling the bumps on a string as you pull it through your fingers.
And the signal changes tell you the sequence. Okay, an ONT, that's generally seen as more cost-effective, maybe faster. Their accuracy has gotten way better too, right? Over 99% now.
Yeah, it's improved dramatically. Q20 accuracy, which is pretty solid. But here's the kicker. Regardless of which one you choose, PacBio or ONT, when you try to scale this down to just one cell, there's a big hurdle. Capture efficiency.
Wait, capture efficiency. So the problem isn't the reading itself. It's just getting the darn molecule into the machine properly.
That's the bottleneck right now, yeah. These platforms, they're just not very good at grabbing the DNA or RNA efficiently, especially when you have tiny amounts. Like for ONT, to get a decent amount of data, you need maybe over 100 nanograms of DNA to start with. A single cell. It has picograms. Way, way less.
Okay, so you can't just pop a single cell onto the sequencer and hit go.
Not even close. You need amplification, massive amplification. We're talking at least 1,000-fold amplification before you have enough material for the SMS platforms to even see it properly. And doing that amplification reliably without introducing errors or biases, well, that's where a lot of the clever lab work is happening right now.
Right. Okay, so that sets the stage. Let's get into the really cool stuff now, the key findings. This is where the long reads start, like breaking down the walls between the different omics layers, transcriptome, genome, epigenome, and finally showing us what that 54% dark matter is actually doing inside a single cell.
Let's start with the transcriptome RNA, basically. Single cell RNA-seq. The massive win with long reads here is that you sequence the entire cDNA molecule, full length, no guessing. This gives you crystal clear information on the full structure of different RNA versions, the isoforms. It finally sorts out all that complex alternative splicing chaos that short reads struggled with.
And what does that mean in practice? What have researchers found?
Well, specific techniques built for this, things like CISR-seq, they've uncovered just incredible complexity in alternative splicing, especially in places like the brain, developing brains, adult brains, mouse, human. They're seeing huge isoform differences between cell types, even at different time points in development. It's like a whole new layer of regulation we just couldn't see before.
Wow, so much more diversity than we thought.
And beyond splicing, the accuracy is good enough now with SMS cRNA-seq to spot allele-specific differences, meaning you can tell if an RNA molecule came from the mom's copy of the gene or the dad's copy, which is super important for understanding, say, mutations in single leukemia cells.
Okay, that's the transcriptome. What about the genome itself, the DNA, single-cell genome-seq?
Yeah, so here, new methods like smooth-seq are giving us really long reads, maybe 6 to 10 kilobases on average from single cells. And this is where detecting those big structural variations, the SVs, insertions, deletions, flips, really shines.
How much better is it?
Okay, get this. There was a head-to-head comparison. Same single cells. PacBio long reads found 5,473 genuine structural variations. Illumina short reads, in the exact same cells, found only 327.
Whoa. Hold on, 5,000 versus 300. That's not just better. That's like we were practically blind to structural damage before. That's a 16-fold increase in sensitivity.
It's a game changer. I mean, think about understanding cancer genomes or rare inherited diseases where SVs are involved. We were missing most of it. And that length, it doesn't just help find SVs. It helps build the genome map itself. Methods like SmoothC2, they've managed de novo assembly building the genome from scratch using just 30 single cells. And they got pretty good continuity, too, like an N50 of around 1.35 megabases.
N50. That's a measure of how complete the assembly is, right? Bigger numbers mean fewer gaps, more connected sequence.
Exactly. And they can also phase haplotypes, figure out which variations came from which parent across whole chromosomes using other long-read methods. Oh, and one more cool genome finding. Some techniques, like SmoothSeq again, can actually spot these weird little circles of DNA, called xDNAs, extrachromosomal circular DNA.
Oh, those are linked to cancer, aren't they? Amplifying oncogenes.
Yes, often driving really aggressive tumor growth. Now we can actually see them, cell by cell.
Incredible. Okay, transcriptome, genome. What about the epigenome, the modifications on the DNA?
Right, the epigenetic layer. Here, long reads give you context. Traditional methods, like for chromatin accessibility or mapping histone marks, they give you a short read right around the modification site. You know it's there, but not much about the neighborhood.
Like knowing the house number but not seeing the street?
Kind of, yeah. The new SMS-based methods, like SmanoA-TACSEC or ScanoSEC-D2TAG, they use long reads. So they capture maybe kilobases of sequence surrounding that modification site. You see the whole street, the context.
And what's the big advantage of seeing the street?
Allele-specific resolution. Again, it's much, much better. These long read techniques show something like a 3- to 10-fold improvement in spotting which allele moms or dads has the epigenetic mark. That is absolutely critical for studying things like X chromosome inactivation, where one whole parental X chromosome gets silenced epigenetically. You need to know which one.
Okay, that makes sense. Much clearer picture.
And they can even probe 3D structure. Using long reads from DNA bits that were physically close in the nucleus, techniques like SNANOEC can figure out higher-order folding. They're seeing things like gene promoters interacting with multiple enhancer regions simultaneously in individual cells. Coordinated regulation we couldn't resolve before.
So the long reads are connecting the dots in 3D space too.
And crucially, connecting back to our dark matter, these long read epigenome methods, they were finally detecting modification peaks inside those repetitive elements. Hundreds, sometimes thousands of modified peaks within lines and LTRs that were just invisible to older short read methods like ChIP-seq.
The blind spot is really starting to clear up then.
It really is.
Which brings us right back to that huge chunk of the genome, the 54%, and especially those repetitive elements, TEs. We really have to ditch the old junk DNA idea, don't we?
Absolutely. That term is so outdated. These TEs, they're not junk. They are powerful forces. They drive evolution. They're involved in critical steps in early development, like turning on the embryo's own genes. And they're deeply implicated in disease.
And this is where it gets maybe clinically really relevant, right? The disease connection.
Hugely relevant.
Yeah.
Because when these TEs get activated when they shouldn't be and they start getting transcribed into RNA, sometimes even reverse transcribed back into DNA,
yeah.
This stuff can end up in the cytoplasm and the cell freaks out.
It freaks out how?
It sees this cytoplasmic DNA, or double-stranded RNA, as foreign, like a virus. So it triggers the innate immune system, specifically things like the type I interferon pathway.
The inflammation response, but there's no actual infection.
Exactly. That's why we call it sterile inflammation.
Hmm.
And this low-level chronic sterile inflammation, it's a major hallmark of aging. It's linked to autoimmune diseases, neurodegeneration, and it plays a big role in cancer initiation and progression.
And if we couldn't sequence the TEs properly before, we couldn't really track this inflammation back to its source.
Precisely. But now, with SMS, we can finally study the epigenetic state of these TEs. We can ask, is this specific copy of a line 1 element active or silenced in this particular cell type, in this diseased cell versus a healthy one? That opens up possibilities for diagnostics, maybe even therapeutics targeting TE-driven inflammation.
That's potentially huge. Unprecedented insight, really.
It is. But, you know, we should be clear, the revolution isn't totally complete. Even these amazing long reads still struggle with the absolute monsters of the genome. We're talking about the extremely long, highly repetitive regions spanning megabases, things like centromeres.
Nibbles of chromosomes, or maybe really, really long xeDNAs.
Right.
Or those huge ribosomal DNA clusters.
Exactly. Those are still tough nuts to crack completely, even for SMS. We probably need even longer reads, maybe better accuracy still, and definitely better ways to get the native DNA without so much amplification.
So more work to do. What are the big future questions then?
Well, can we get high coverage sequencing of native unamplified DNA or RNA in single cells? That's a big one. And can we merge this with spatial context? Single cell long read spatial transcriptomics. Imagine seeing the full length isoform map of every cell perfectly placed within, say, a tumor biopsy slice. That's kind of the dream.
Okay, so wrapping this up then, what's the main take-home message for you listening?
I think the central idea is that single-molecule long-read sequencing is fundamentally changing what fully sequenced actually means, especially when we look cell by cell. NGS gave us the first draft, maybe like a basic world map. SMS is giving us the detailed satellite imagery showing functional landscapes we never even knew were there.
Yeah, this combination, this convergence, it's unlocking the secrets hidden in that dark matter, the repetitive complex parts of our genome. And these aren't just passive regions. They're actively involved in how we evolved, who we are as cells, and what goes wrong in disease. We're finally moving from seeing maybe half the picture to aiming for the full 100% cell by cell, which leaves us with a big thought. What does this really mean for our ability down the line to get a complete, perfectly phased genome and epigenome map from just one single cell? Could this push precision medicine truly beyond just looking at averages and down to the individual cellular level? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.